Thanks, Ruslan, for being here today.
Sure. Happy to be here.
And we're talking about Banned Books Week, which is this week the American Library Association kind of highlights it every year. And it's really talking about not celebrating banning books, but recognizing the harms of censorship and the idea that there should be a freedom to read among both adults and young adults in the nation.
Yes, it's funny you mention that, because every year when we put out a display on Banned Books Week, you know, and it's usually in the last week in September, and people look at the poster and they say, banned books? Are you kidding me? Are you trying to ban books? And we assure them, no, it's the opposite. We are actually celebrating everybody's right to read whatever they choose, that it's an individual right. It's your First Amendment right.
Talk a little bit about why books are banned. I know we talk about the freedom to read, but there are reasons that over the years, a number of books from the classics like Huckleberry Finn to some of the moderns, like even in some places Harry Potter, people have tried to ban or challenge them to remove them from libraries, and it can be a misunderstanding sometimes from parents, it sounds like.
That is true, because I think the intentions for why people try to ban or challenge a book is, well, there are many reasons, I suppose, but a lot of it would be maybe they object to the language in it, or they object to, you know, how explicit it might be, the language.
Even some of the subject matter, like, I mean, I know sometimes, way back when you're talking about some dark arts books or something, some stuff involving magic could have been considered like a witchcraft type thing.
Yes, that's right. That's right. One of the books that was frequently challenged was a Harry Potter book, the whole series, I suppose. And that was because of some people saw it or perceived it as being, you know, the occult or black magic. And they tend to ignore the fact that it talks more about maybe friendship, you know, or overcoming obstacles.
It misses the point of growing up, the Harry Potter growing up, facing challenges and kind of the journey of the hero rather than, and they try to focus more on the dark arts aspect of it.
Right. Yep, that's true. And then, of course, you know, people may object to different depictions of a family, or they object to the political viewpoints as put in the books, or offensive language and so on. Yes.
And the whole idea is that you can, of this week, is that you can choose what you want to read, you can choose what you don't want to read, and as a parent you can kind of maybe filter your own child's books, but having that information out there for the public in the library in itself is important, because just because you may not want it, it allows conversations to be had between maybe another family and their child and that sort of thing.
Right. I mean, we're not taking away your right to read whatever you choose. I mean, if you choose not to read something, that's perfectly fine. And as a parent, you may decide for yourself and your child that you don't want them to read a book. However, we just feel that everybody should have the right to choose for themselves and what they want to read, you know, and so we can't take away the individual's right to choose what they want to read.
And as part of that, it's kind of ironic that this week is falling now into Information Literacy Month, as first proclaimed by President Obama in 2009. Kind of the same idea, the freedom to both know your information, read information that you should be available for you, but then also, kind of in the same vein, understanding it and having a conversation about what you're reading, so you know what you're reading, and this kind of goes into more nonfiction, but what you're reading, how it's, what's true about it, and kind of cutting through some of the stuff that may be propaganda.
That is right. Yeah, that October is Information Literacy Awareness Month. And what it means basically is that you know, we're surrounded by so much information in the media everywhere around us. And it's just to know how to distinguish the fact, to be able to tell what is accurate and what may not be accurate, propaganda, as you say, and especially teaching everybody, especially the kids, I think, to know how to be able to find information and be able to distinguish and tell what is real and what's not.
And as kind of part of that, the Knoxville Library here actually recently received a grant to participate in this program called News Know-How, and a few kids at Knoxville High School have been able to kind of do what you're saying, decipher through some of the information provided by media and find out what is true and what's kind of, you know, a generalization or not necessarily the right way of stating the facts.
Yes, three of our high school students from Knoxville, Megan Malloy, Melissa Malloy, and Jamie Hunt, they're the three students who are doing a project. We received that grant from the American Library Association and through the State Library. And their project, and they went for training for this, their project is to look through the newspapers. Their concentration is newspapers. And looking at the articles and being able to distinguish, the source of the information on whether it's a valid source or not, and how to verify the information that they find. And they will do a report to the community on November 6.
And have you been talking with them? Have they been learning a lot as they kind of go through this process?
Tremendous lot, yes. They have learned a lot. Just, it's making them more aware, I think, as they watch television or read the newspapers or listen to anything on TV or the internet, and be able, just using their critical thinking skills and trying to distinguish what is true and what is not. So yes, they've certainly learned a lot.
All right. Well, Rosalind, thanks very much for being here today. It was a good discussion.
Thank you, Aaron.
Perfect.